Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, we're back for another episode of the Gear Garage Live Show, something I enjoy doing on Tuesdays where I answer questions that have been submitted and just sort of talk about things I feel like talking about. Here's our agenda for the day. We only have one question, so we'll bust through that pretty quick. I want to talk about flip lines after that, which will be a little bit of a commercial, and then go through some video from the mid-shoot last week on the Rogue River. And then let's get the question first. It says, help. I can get my backrest set up properly on a 4-bay or frame on a 16er. I can get my backrest set up properly on a 4-bay or frame on a 16er. Okay. We have Watershed Colorado bags. The front bay has a table across with a Paco pad on top. So that's like how we run commercially. Like we have a 3-bay frame like you sit on a cooler, a place to put your feet, boxes in front of that, and then a separate little hatch with a table on it, which is the same as a 4-bay frame. It's just a 3-bay frame with an addition. No matter what I try, they don't stay in place. They tend to slide back, interfering with the rower. So I think when you say your backrest set up properly, I think you mean to say I can't get my backrest set up properly. Because if you can, I don't understand the question. And you're trying, I'm just guessing from what I'm reading here. I'm not totally sure that you are trying to use your Watershed Colorado bags as a backrest for the people sitting on the Paco pad in the front. And when you set them up, they're sliding back and interfering with the rower. That's just my best guess from what I'm reading here. It's not totally clear. And it's a little tricky to do without a photo, but you know, it helps everybody, me understand it, and then other people who are listening and watching. I guess not even listening, just watching. So I think you're asking, how do you tie those Colorado bags in better so they don't slide back? And unfortunately, I just can't answer that in words, or even like I have to be there with you to look at your frame with the straps and show you how I would do it. That's all I know. My advice would be like use cam straps. And it helps if you tie the two bags together, right? I've seen people do that. I've seen this done a lot of different ways, but tie the two bags together and then have the ends of them tied down at the ends. But I just don't have a good answer for you without physically being with you. So hopefully that's enough of an answer. That's all I got for you. I'm really sorry. All right, let's move on to the next thing, which is flip lines. And I want to talk about the flip lines that we make. I have one right here. And I started making these because for flip lines, historically, we wrapped Hoopie around our waist. And then people started carrying Hoopie in their PFD. And we were buying climbing webbing, like stuff made for climbing that was good, but not perfect. Either the length was weird or it was, I don't know, too thick, too thin. We were basically using, like, again, moving from the ones around our waist or just like 1-inch tubular webbing, which I don't have any of here, to stuff that rock climbers are making. I thought, why don't we make exactly what we need / want? And so this is what I came up with. I'm of the opinion, after experimenting with flip lines a lot, that right around 12 feet is the right length. So my armor span is 6 feet. This one's 12 feet. I think that matches a good variety of raft sizes for flipping back over. And so the idea is you get a carabiner. Let's see if I have a carabiner handy. I don't. I should have a carabiner for this, but I have none handy even either. But you get a carabiner, and oh, I have a little one right here. By the way, these Rocky Talkie radios are amazing. If those of you who think about getting radios, I've tried a lot of different ones in the past, and these things are waterproof. They have a little thing you can attach here and just put this in your PFD and have a little mic button on your lapel. I have four of these for our classes. I just bought two more just because I like having them for other stuff. So I have six of them. That's how much I like them. So anyway, you can tie it. You can put a carabiner. This one's kind of small, but put a carabiner at the end. And then when you flip a boat, just clip it in to a D-ring and then flip it back over. Awesome application. Classic use of a flip line to re-flip, rewrite boats. But the sweet thing about this is it also makes a good anchor around a tree. So if you need to, like, if you're on shore and need an anchor, you can put this around a tree, clip this in, and then clip, you know, so it's one big loop instead of having to tie a water knot, right? If you tie a water knot, you have to untie the water knot at the end. If you put a loop around a tree or a rock, this is, you just undo this and you move on. And actually, if you do it around a rock, you can untie it later in camp. If you do it around a tree, a big loop with a water knot, you have to sit there and tie it after you loaded it. And then this can just attach to your mechanical abandoner system. It's super easy way. Also, there's a really fancy way. You can do a two-point anchor with this on your raft. It's very simple. That's really easy. And also, the cool thing about this material, so I chose ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene for the material, which is very, very strong. It's also slippery. And so if you get creative and you understand mechanical abandoner systems, you can use this on a pulley, on a carabiner to mimic the action of a pulley. This sliding over a carabiner has more friction than a rope and a pulley, but it's not that bad. And so there's a lot of like 2-to-1 systems. There's a pig rig you can set up. The transport hitch is super cool. So with just this much material, if you have a lot of skill and ability, you can set up some really cool mechanical abandoner systems that I probably wouldn't use for like gear boats. You could, but if you're kayaking, this is all you have. It's really useful if you know how to use it. Some advantages also of ultra high molecular weight polyethylene is that it floats. So if you drop this in the river, it should float. It sheds water. It's hydrophobic, I think is what it's called. I'm a big fan of these as sort of a Swiss Army knife for river guides, for rafters, for kayaking. It's great, again, because there's different mechanical abandoner systems you can set up. I sell these on our website, riverhardware.com. I'm really proud of them. They're super awesome. And so I'm just saying this to followers of the show. My stock is running low. So if you wanted one, I would get one sooner than later, because at some point it would be sold out. And after ordering them is a huge hassle. So we may run out here at some point. And it was just a rafting. I just called the rafting flip line. It's the only one I know of that's specifically designed for rafting. Like, I chose the fabric, the length, the width, everything based on what I would want as a guide slash kayaker slash private boater in my PFD for my all-in-one tool. I use this all the time. The other day I was on the Rogue and I had to tie a bunch of duckies up to shore in camp. I just put this through the D-rings and I clipped them around a tree. I used this the other day to tie my boat to shore really quick. I just clipped it on, put it around a tree really quick. First, a quick tie up, not the whole undo the rope and wrap it, tie it around the tree, tie a knot. This is just a quick and easy attach your boat to shore slash duckies to shore. Or if I'm getting out of my kayak and I'm like, it's a big rock next to me, I'll like get out carefully, stand up. I'll climb up on the rock, but this with this attached to the kayak, so my kayak doesn't float away when I climb up on the rock. Anyway, lots of uses. I'm pretty jazzed on it. It's there for you. Okay, the last thing we're going to talk about video that I have. And I have this awesome video I want to share from last week on the Rogue. This is one of my guides, Mason. And I'm not going to show the whole video right now because it's like 30 minutes long. But I want to go through the highlights. And this is the kind of video I also like. I'm sometimes hesitant to put videos like this on the channel because without context, I don't know, people start making weird comments for sure. But also like, I don't want some video just to get out in the world. And so that's why like, I'm probably going to put this up as a members only video. And so if you're a member of the channel, which you pay like $2 a month, I put videos like this there, and I trust the members will be respectful with it, not like make a bunch of weird comments or like judge it or share it around to have people like make fun of somebody. Cause there are mistakes. All these videos, there are mistakes that are made. And because I'm not going to, there's not a lot of context to go with it. I'm not going to record a 30-minute me talking over it. I could, but I'm not going to. I'm worried sometimes people will not understand what's going on and say some incorrect things. I know if it's members, it's a small tight knit community. Hopefully it happens less. So it's a long way of me saying videos like this, where there's some sort of equipment retrieval or something that didn't go 100% perfect, I generally put on the members only part of the page, which reminds me, if you have comments or questions, this is the last thing we're doing. This show is over. If you have anything for me to talk about, throw it in the comment section, because this show is going to end here pretty quick. So this is the mid shoot on the Rogue. And if you can see what happens, if you look ahead, the line is, there's a person standing there right in front of Mason. The line is to the right. And you kind of have to push the entrance, which people struggle with pushing and tracking. If you don't push correctly, you end up in this sort of dead end where that raft is. So you can see Mason's doing it correctly. You kind of have to push, and pushing is hard. People struggle with pushing all the time. And some people push too much. That's a separate thing. But if you don't make this line that Mason's making, you end up in this right over there on the left in this room of doom. You have to get right when he just passed. You have to get past it. And Mason's coming up, and he's just gonna sort of pull over here. He had communicated earlier. Do you want me to go? Do you want me to help? Do you want me to take the fish ladder? And this guide said, "Help." This guide's already also set up a 3-to-1 to pull the boat over, which is smart. I think a 3-to-1 is a good tool, partially because you get extra power, but also because it's like ratcheting. You get to capture progress. You're not just like pulling and letting go. So, and the one thing I really like what's happening here is they're having a chill conversation. He's not just jumping out of the boat, pulling on the rope. They're talking about a plan. He's being patient and trying to understand the lay of the land, communicate. Sometimes people show up at the rescue and they just really want to do things. Like I'm stuck. Let me set up a 3-to-1 and let's pull on it. Instead, like, what's our goal? Where are we headed? Is this mechanical advantage system set up in the right place? This conversation here, I really liked. And then the audio is not here because I turned the audio off because it would be distracting. But I really appreciate calm, clear, slow conversation about what the plan is to get it off. And I think a lot of people, when I teach about like rescue, the principles that I have are: one, establish a leader. Do you want somebody who's in charge? Well, number one is like count everybody, find everybody, and stabilize the situation. Right, make sure everybody's like alive. Like, hopefully the two of them know there's nobody under the raft right now, or not, there's nobody swimming downstream they need to rescue. Like, can everybody stabilize? And then establish a leader, set upstream spotters. And there's two of them. They really can't, but they're visible enough that hopefully people know not to come in here. And then downstream safety, which they don't have, but I think they're just going to be aware they need to be very careful. If there were people on the raft or people that could fall in, you would need to set downstream safety. They're not, and I understand why. But then finally, it's like, think about after. Like, once you start doing the action, what's next, right? And so I like that they sat there and talked about, hey, where's the boat going to go? What's our plan? They didn't just start pulling and then end up like with the boat somewhere that's worse or someone that didn't help. And I'm a big proponent of like, think about after the thing you do. And it's a cool video because you can see Mason right now was like, you can see somebody actually resetting the prusik. There he is, resetting the prusik, pushing the pulley out. I really like this video because you're seeing a 3-to-1 work, right? Two people pulling on it. It's moving the boat pretty well. You can see now too, like the prusik, the one that captured progress, just bound in the pulley. That's what just happened. So prusik minding pulleys don't always mind as well as we think. They're not perfect. And so actually that's why I like these things. This is the tri-rig I've been experimenting with as this little rigging plate. I find that the things mind a little bit better when you use this. That's just my little bit of experience, but that's why I've been using this a lot. But anyway, that their prusik, the pulley and the prusik, they're minding pulleys, but they don't mind. They're better than at nothing, the minding, but they don't always mind well. So you'll see them here while they're doing this. They have to manually mind the prusik. One other note is they're pulling on a 3-to-1 mechanical managed system. I'm just assuming they're anchored on to at least 2 points, probably three in the raft. Hopefully three. In this case, they're not pulling a wrap off. Maybe the frame is, if it's the frame, it's probably fine. If you're doing a wrap, I wouldn't use the frame. If you're pulling a boat that's stuck, just like stuck like this one is, then I think the frame is fine. And you can see, this is just cool. It's just good video of them pulling it and then minding or moving the prusik to reset the pulley. And this isn't a wrap. This is just a stuck boat. They're just like moving a stuck boat. And this is a great technique. You're seeing what they're just getting extra power. They're able to reset it. A vector pull is not going to work here. Those of you that think vector pulls are like a smart idea, this is a world where vector pull is just going to do nothing for you. You need a system that gives you some mechanical advantage and is like capturing progress, which I call, it's just ratchet. It's like a ratchet. It's just ratcheting. It's just moving the boat a little bit at a time. We're not building more tension in the system because like it's a wrap, it's stuck. We're just moving something. And you can just see how effective the system is. Mason just pushed out the prusik again, got more space, and they just keep moving the raft where they need to go. So anyway, this happens longer. They do it some more. It's a fun video. And then they move, you can see Mason grabs the GoPro and he moves it at the boat. They finally get the boat out of this dead end. And now they need to move it over more river left. You can see that opening over there to push it over the falls. And they eventually get it there. It gets stuck on a rock and then more ropes come out. And eventually, you know, all the video is not there. You can see that, you know, their main priority wasn't the GoPro, although they were aware of it. And they were trying to get video because it's always a good video to get to share. But and eventually, as you can see, it's right over the top of the falls. Eventually, it comes off. I think Mason had to leave. I can't remember the whole story. Mason had to go set a camp up. So I think he helped to get it to here. But anyway, that's that video right there. So anyway, if you're members, I'll throw it up on the members only part. I'm not going to put any commentary with it. It's going to be raw footage that you can watch at your own pace, at your own time. Okay, I have one question. About this question, I think we're done. Hi, do you have any suggestions for landing rafts in fast current where they're not eddies? I've struggled in spring trips on the Grand Ronde coming in too fast. Thanks. Yeah, two things. This happens in the Middle Fork of the Salmon, and I see people mess this up all the time. There's two things you can do. As you approach camp, there's three things you can do. Get space between your boats. Don't just all come in at once. Like, you know camp's coming up. Say, hey, everyone, get some space. And so if you all come in at once, it's a disaster. The first boat needs to get there, tie up quickly, and be ready to catch the second boat. When the second boat comes in, somebody needs to hold that boat to tie it up and help the next boat. So the first boat has the hardest. They have the wide open palette. There's a lot of places to land. They need to go somewhere smart and quickly, jump out quickly, tie the boat up, and be ready to accept the next people. The last boat has the hardest problem because there's a bunch of boats taking the prime real estate, but hopefully there's a lot of people that can help them. So part one is space. Part two is get out and help. And then the key is do this on a pole. If you're pushing in, we see this in the Middle Fork all the time. Guides who start on the Rogue, who learn on the Rogue, the cool thing to do is push into eddies. They're just pushing into eddies. And a lot of you out there who are like, I only push, pushing is so cool. You bring that attitude to Idaho. You try pushing into camp and you just get destroyed. You want to dump speed coming into these fast camps. You want to be pulling upstream, slowing the boat down, going slower than the current, and kind of ferry over to camp. Don't come in to camp just full speed ahead. You're just slowing down and you're pulling over and spinning the bow in and either jumping off quickly and grabbing it or your friend was there. So again, just to repeat, the three tricks, three keys are, what was number one again? Number one is get space. Number two is get out and help each other. Number three is pull into the eddies. Don't push. So anyway, hopefully that helps pranker, dinker, bros a little bit. Well, everybody, that's been this episode of the Gear Garage Live Show. Thank you all for watching. There will not be one next week, but there should be one the week after that. So if you have questions, go to whitewaterguidebook.com. There's a little ask. Oh, let's have a minute. I'll pull it up here. Let's see. How do I go to whitewaterguidebook.com? So let's share this page. Share screen. This is a page. This is the page I use most on Whitewater Guidebook. It has the middle fork levels because I'm always watching these throughout the summer. And if you go to Gear Garage here, ask a question. This is where you submit a question. And we get questions all the time through like Instagram, Twitter, whatever. I don't know. People mail us stuff sometimes. This is the best way to ask us because we catalog it correctly and we can definitely get it on the show. If you do it a different way, we'll probably answer it. We just might take us a while to find your question because we're not always checking our Instagram messages. So anyway, that's it. Thank you all for watching. See you in a couple weeks.